And now, from a cigar shop that used to be a multilingual surgery center and is permanently our temporary recording studio, comes the all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit.
Welcome to the all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit, Empty Minds Radio, episode 436. I'm Tom.
I'm Gary.
What's up, Gary? What's going on, man?
I'm in LA. I'm in California where it's not 30 fucking 6 degrees in Minnesota, so I'm sweating.
He's dying.
I'm like a fucking pig.
He's been carrying a beach towel in his back pocket every day.
Everywhere I go. It's fucking, everybody out here is like, oh my God, it's California. It's fucking cold and shit. Yeah, fuck that. It's fucking hot as fuck. It's fucking 60 degrees or something out here.
You've heard Gary talk on the show about how hot he gets, but it's no fucking joke.
That's bullshit.
We're in a room right now. He's dying.
Yeah, it's probably.
His pants are going off anyway.
I bet it's 70 degrees in here.
Oh, yeah.
It's
easy.
Fucking horrible.
Easy. And I'm fine in a jacket. Dude's wearing a jacket. She's got long sleeves. Yeah. You're dying.
I'm putting up with this because I love Mark. My love for Mark and Megan.
Love her so much you got her name wrong.
Ah, fuck.
Nice fucking work.
I'm an idiot.
We are not alone in the studio tonight. We have Dark Mark from the Dark Mark Podcast. How you doing, man?
I don't have swamp ass like some people in the studio.
Oh, yeah. I'm making gravy, buddy.
I can imagine. Yeah, I'm sure it's tasty.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious. Yeah.
We only met Mark 2 seconds ago. We've said about 3 sentences together, but we love him.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, we're both on Renegade Radio. We're part of the Renegade Radio crew.
We are. Yeah. Thanks, Charlie, for arranging this, and thanks, Mark, for following through.
Yeah. I was listening to your shows. Great stuff.
You like it?
Hilarious. Oh, yeah.
For real?
Oh, it's totally different from what I do, but it's great.
Yeah, well, I've listened to your shows, too. I had to get up to speed. Yeah. I wasn't sure tonight. I said to Gary, I said, so, you know, Mark, I don't know if he goes to his podcast in pinstripes and clown makeup, or if he just does that when he's in a photo shoot or what. But
when I'm lounging at home is when I put the pinstripes on.
Just at home,
all the
fishnets.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Here's the thing about fishnets. I did a show in fishnets once, and I couldn't perform later that night with my girlfriend because they went all the way up.
Gotcha.
And they constricted. So
bullshit.
If you're gonna wear wear fishnets as a man, knee high
fishnets.
Yeah. No, I'm out. That's awesome. An extra layer that I can just get rid of and stay a little bit cooler.
I'm the goth comedian. I don't know if people are aware of that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, Mark the goth. Well, check out Mark's show, the Dark Mark Podcast. You can find that on Renegade and Stitcher and all kinds of places.
Spotify,
all the regulars.
Yeah.
Mark, were you involved in the EDC thing at all?
I've been to EDC. I wasn't at the one this year, though.
Okay. We drove over here from Las Vegas on Monday, and we were stuck in an EDC traffic jam.
Oh, that'll happen. Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
2.5 extra hours to get here. Yeah. Easy.
I've been out of EDC traffic. Everybody thought I was a cop when I went to EDC. I filmed it for YouTube.
You kind of look like a cop. I wasn't going to say anything.
Are you from a cop family?
Like a cop.
Do you have
I was filming it for YouTube, and I was asking where the good ecstasy was and all this stuff.
Oh,
and they're like, we don't do drugs.
Yeah, we don't. They fuck drugs.
I'm like, what's with these kids today?
Just say
they don't
no.
do drugs.
All
they don't
are,
know.
Yeah, fuck, right.
They don't know the good techno music. They don't know Chemical
fucking
Brothers.
Bastards. Fucking bastards. Speaking kids. Of cops and techno music, me and my buddy, Boodle, back in the day, you know, 90s when raves were a thing, there was a rave at an old skate park in Minneapolis, right? And him and I show up, and I'm wearing a windbreaker, basically. Both of us were wearing black full-length jackets. Everybody thought we were cops. They literally shut the fucking party off for 10 minutes until they realized we weren't.
You know what it was? You weren't wearing the JNCO jeans that went out, like the flare ones?
That's true. And I had not a glow stick on me.
No, that'll do it.
So
I fucked it up.
That's the thing. We got Morgan over there on sound, but she doesn't have a mic, so she's waving at us. I just realized as I said that she doesn't have a mic. You should have a mic. You could be a part of shit. Oh, she's finding a mic.
Oh, wow.
Shit. While she's finding a mic, we got Paulie on the phone, I think.
How's it going, man?
Paulie, how are you, man?
You know, I'm pretty good. What can I say? What time is it here? Gosh, what on midnight?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's close to midnight there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But no, I was just watching some TV and just kind of chilling.
I just told the gang here. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just telling these guys that you are you're originally an Anaheim native. So, hello, Paul.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of intermittent here. I'm kind of
move to that other room.
No, stay where you are.
By the way, that means he used to work at Disneyland.
he might have worked it. Did you ever work at Disneyland, Paul? You certainly have talked about it plenty.
No, you know what? I never did. There were a whole bunch of guys and gals that I went to school with growing up who became cast members, as they call them. And yeah, they do. They call them cast members. And, you know, the thing is, they still talk about it. I mean, I think it was kind of like a real bond that they kind of formed by working there. I certainly went there a lot as a kid. I think once I got into high school, I just didn't really go all that much. I never went to grad night. I think grad night is where you pretty much, you know, like your class goes and you just kind of stay out all night or whatever. By that time, I think I'd been there so many times, I think I probably just blew it off.
That's cool. Now, your dad, you've told us many times on the show, your dad was a Anaheim cop, which got you into a lot of got you good tickets or free tickets to a lot of great concerts. Did that ever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Growing up, my dad worked security. He was a cop. He was a sergeant for a number of years, and then became a lieutenant. And he, a lot of free entertainment, you know, for a large family. I mean, Angel Games, we went to Angel Games all the time, probably from the time they moved there in 66, and then went to Disneyland a lot. So he got, like, that was back in the ticket days where you had, like, you had passes to get in, and then you bought these tickets. It wasn't a one. You didn't pay at the door and then everything was free. You basically bought these booklets and they were A through E tickets. And so we had a whole shitload of those. And then, when it came to Anaheim Convention Center, boy, we saw some great concerts there throughout the years. A lot of my older siblings, I'm the youngest of five, a lot of my older siblings, they saw a lot of shows I didn't get a chance to see because I was too young. And then once those headliners got really, really big, then they never played that small of a venue anymore.
Sure.
So I kind of missed out on some of them, but I saw some great shows at the convention center.
Did you ever get into Disneyland for free because of your dad's job?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, my dad had a shitload. Whenever we went to Disneyland, the only thing he ever had to pay for was food. I mean, he had free parking, free passes, and pretty much free tickets to all the rides.
It's still expensive as fuck, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Nothing. Gary just asked if it was still expensive as fuck because you had to buy everything else. So, and it
well,
was
yeah,
like
I mean,
a family of 17.
Speaking, I'm sure. I mean, comparatively speaking, I'll bet it wasn't as expensive as it is now.
Nah. No.
Now it's pretty fucking pricey.
No. So, anyway, be sure to check us out on EmptyMindsRadio.com, the great internet archive at archive.org. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Catch us through the RSS feed via your favorite podcatcher. We are on Renegade Radio. Renegade has two A's. Contact us via the contact form for whatever reason. Donations are accepted on the donate page. And we are also on Spotify tonight. You kind of got an idea. Paul's on the phone. Gary's got all the local shit LA style.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
Jerry's home masturbating in St. Paul. And Mark is here and Morgan, and we got a top 10 list, and Cinema Pauly Diesel.
Yeah, this is what Jerry gets for not showing up.
What a fucker. Total piece of shit.
Bastard.
Goddamn Jerry.
I can masturbate in his behalf if you'd like.
Would you like to do that right now?
No.
Okay.
Why'd you bring it up, man? Don't
yeah,
tease.
What the fuck?
I, if you insist, I could.
Okay. We're going to get you those special fishnets you were asking us for earlier. Yeah, and so how long have you, are you from here?
I've lived all over the country. I was born in Brooklyn. We moved to Florida, Colorado. I went to high school and college in San Diego.
Okay.
Which is where I discovered the goth scene. And I've been in LA for quite a while now. I actually moved a couple years ago to New Orleans and then to Vegas, and now I've been back for about a year.
Okay.
So
you're all over the
place. Mark, are you a San Diego State Aztec?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Well, how do you like that?
Well, I had a different experience than most people. It's the number 3 party school in the nation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was there for 6 years, didn't get laid once. That's just one of those things.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm happy for you. Maybe, I don't know.
It was tough. I failed African-American studies. You had to do your thesis on your favorite black performer. I did mine on Black Sabbath. Didn't work out.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, there's the comedy there.
He set me up. And, yeah. Women's studies... You know, they had me, point out a clitoris and I couldn't do it. So I could do it now, but I couldn't do it then.
Not then.
So you failed at a round of pin the tail on the clitoris.
Right. Yeah. And I was there for 6 years, so I tried.
They didn't have a lot of faith in you when you left.
Yeah, I went to a lot of parties.
Oh, good job.
Yeah. So
you know what, though? The thing is, though, we may be wrong about that, guys. I believe it's actually pronounced clitoris. You might want to ask Morgan about that. I don't know.
We can't because she doesn't have a mic.
Well, she can either, nod or she can shake her head.
Is it clitoris or clitoris?
Clitoris.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. She's been shaking her head the whole time. You did. Is there not? Are either of those correct, or is one of them totally wrong?
I don't pay attention to content. I just end up looking at the levels.
Oh, okay.
I pronounce clitoris wrong.
He said clitoris.
You said it wrong. Now we're all idiots.
I've heard it both ways, to be honest.
I mean, oh.
Well, that's a mystery. You know what? Very long. How to pronounce it is just as big a mystery as the clitoris itself.
Well, what this is, Paul, is this is our first correction of the night.
This is a self-correcting correction.
It's a great question. I wasn't, unfortunately, Mark, paying attention to you saying clitoris. You might have...
I said clitoris.
Oh, you might have... Oh, well, that's wrong.
Okay, now I know.
Oh, corrected.
Boom. Like I say, I failed for the studies. Now
yeah,
I know.
No. Well, maybe we know. I'm going to have to...
I could find a clitoris now. I just can't pronounce it.
And nor should you have to while you're finding it and going in that direction, right? Yeah. Well, so comedy, how did you get into that?
Well, my cousin, Dave, was staying with us, and he was trying to be an actor.
Okay.
And they had a comedy. Well, first of all, the first time I did comedy actually was in seventh grade.
Like a variety show kind
of
thing?
Yeah, a talent show, yeah. So I did comedy, and I killed. I wish I remembered that material. It was really good. Did in the eighth grade, killed. Didn't really think about it, and my cousin was trying to be an actor, and there was a comedy contest at the Comedy Store in San Diego. So he's like, help me write an act. So we were writing some stuff together. And then he's like, well, why don't you do your thing? I'll do my thing. And then he dropped out altogether, and I went up, and it completely bombed. I wouldn't say completely. Like, my material was awful. But I riffed with the crowd a little bit and got some laughs and said, and I was 19 and I didn't know that I could go to clubs. I said, I'll wait till I'm 21. Then I was 21. I started doing it again and eventually got good.
Right on.
Right on.
Very cool.
It took a while to get good. And I did a lot of black rooms in San Diego. That's because I couldn't get in the Comedy Store. And my friend's like, come down to these Smokies was a bar down there. And I went there once. I was the only white person there. Except for the bartender. I killed for 5 minutes. Unfortunately, I was supposed to do 7.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I told a joke. They didn't like it. They started booing, hissing. And when they started throwing things at me, the host got me off stage. I went back the next week, destroyed, became a regular at the club.
All right.
Wow, cool. Right on. Yeah. Well, you learned. Yeah. You learned something.
Well,
you
keep going.
I learned how to pronounce clitoris.
Well, tonight. Yeah,
well, tonight.
Yeah.
So you learned something every day.
Were you saying clitoris down there to the black crowd in San Diego? They don't have that.
That's probably wrong. That's why you got pissed off.
Oh, yeah. They start throwing shit.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yes. When I said clitoris, everything was cool.
Oh, yeah. They got it.
So I was the only white comic. They would, they had like 4 regulars, and they're bringing like, big Cedric the Entertainer. They had bring.
Oh, shit.
Big people down from L.A. Yeah.
Damn.
That's cool.
So you where do you do comedy now?
Oh, all over L.A.
All over L.A.
I'm doing a show. I'm doing a private party in Vegas this weekend. And Sunday I'm doing a show downtown at the 5-Star Bar with a bunch of good comics and a band with Rodney Eastman, who was in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4, and John Hawkes, who was in Deadwood. He was in Winter's Bone.
Yeah.
And Academy Award nominee. So it's going to be quite a Memorial Day party.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
The man references Nightmare on Elm Street. We're not more than, 6 blocks from Freddy's house, something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know
North Genesee, right around the corner, right off half block off Sunset.
Well, now
I know. Freddie's house from all the movies.
It's a beautiful house.
In fact, the woman who owns it, the front still looks like, brand new, but Freddie's house.
Right.
But she just spent millions renovating every ounce of it. It's stunning.
Oh, I can imagine. Now I got to check that out.
Yeah, when I lose my shit, that's where I'm going to start.
I've seen the Brady Bunch house. I've never seen the...
oh, man.
I haven't seen the Brady Bunch house.
I haven't seen the Brady.
The house that was only used for one shot ever, right, before the series started.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they stuck it was not a split level house. It was a single story house. So the window in the middle of the Brady house that you always see, right? The big upper window, fake. They stuck it on the outside.
I'm learning so much today.
To make him, he's an architect, right? They had to put that.
Yeah, they had to make it look like, and also it has a stairway. The big stairway is the centerpiece of the whole show, right?
Yeah, the centerpiece of the bullshit.
Yeah, they all lined up on the stairway. All in their
perms.
Like
the Von Trapps.
You got 6 fucking kids, blah, 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 fucking piece of shit.
What do you have to say about the Brady Bunch, Paul?
I think it smells like sex.
There it is.
True.
We do a feature on the show once in a while called 5-Minute Cinema. One of us writes a 5-minute screenplay.
Okay.
And did one a number of years ago called Bad Brady's.
Ooh.
And everybody in the family's fucking each other and everything's going wonky in the house. And then Cousin Oliver shows up at the door and he just goes, smells like sex.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
It was a good time.
It was for me.
Yeah. Well, shit, I'm not used to this one-hour time frame. We probably got to jump jump into the news, huh?
Totally lost. I'm fucking out of shit. All right.
Yeah.
I'll give you some news.
And by the way, I know Ron Jeremy. We can get him into that.
Oh, my God.
You know Ron.
Fucking Ron.
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't.
Fucking, I've never met Ron Jeremy.
I've had him on my show. That was the first Celebrity Morgan saw.
Oh, my God.
In studio.
Oh, my God.
And he tried to go for the hug and was denied, but...
oh, man.
From her or from you?
From her.
Okay,
but,
you hugged him, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. You really
was
didn't
he
have
clothed?
A choice. Well, I did a comedy show with him in Ventura, and he wore a T-shirt that still had cum stains on it.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, the hedgehog thing, obviously, you know what the story is there. It's not what people think.
What is it?
Well, it said he showed up from, I forget the whole thing, but he showed up for some porn shoot, like, and he had ridden a motorcycle through the rain or something, and it was fucking cold, and when he showed up and took off his shirt, I guess his hair was just like, his skin was like blue and his hair was on end.
Mm.
And one of his porn star buddies said, "You just look like a fucking hedgehog, man." And the name stuck. So it has nothing to do with
right
what you might think.
I don't know what anybody thinks.
Well, yeah, everybody has their own opinion, but it's all bad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That was, is he a nice guy? I mean,
smile.
I don't know.
Oh, he's a real nice guy. Yeah, he's
okay,
a super
all right,
nice guy.
Good.
But yeah, we can get
he
him.
He fucks
as,
for a living. How could he not be nice?
I don't know. Is he clean and safe?
He's not clean.
She wouldn't hug him. So that immediately sets off warning alarms.
He's not
alarms
the most hygienic person in the world.
All right, well, that's
but
good.
He's a nice guy.
That's good.
And
your first celebrity
you know,
meeting
way,
can't
that,
be Ron Jeremy,
the thing,
right?
The thing that matters yeah. least in sex is hygiene.
Right,
right.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. I don't know who you've been having sex with, but yeah, I like to.
Dude, no, I like hygiene.
You like hygiene, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we're all
you know, let me,
there.
When I was in high school and college, it was all about hygiene.
Of course.
I mean, that was hygiene, the ability to, you know, be fun and create a fun environment. That was all I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you think? The clitoris buffed to a mirror finish?
Clitoris.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know. I just said it again.
Oh, my God.
I'm never yeah, making that sure. mistake again.
We're never getting off this fucking subject.
Okay, we're moving on.
News.
This is the news as we're in the news.
I'm fucking not going to get out of this.
This is all the local shit.
I grew up in a small town. Y'all grew up in wherever.
He's from Texas. Everybody in this room is not from where we're at.
Yeah. All right, so we're in Los Angeles. We decided to do a bunch of... you know, local fucking news stories. So I'm looking at Los Angeles news, and Los Angeles is not the whole country, and it's definitely not the Twin Cities. There's some sad shit happening in the cities.
Yeah.
Some sad shit. when your town has more than one kid in a microwave in the same week, I feel like that's maybe a dark week. So I went through and I grabbed some news that was not the darkest news in the shit. But
thank goodness, because... hard to spin that into something funny.
Yeah, it's hard to do that funny. It's hard to do. Well, I mean, we got some deaths in here because they're everything.
Death can be funny, but
yeah, I'm gonna try and make it funny. You know, if I fail, fuck it, it's my fault. Anyways, I'm gonna start off hot water in cool weather.
Paul, you want to read these back like you normally do?
Hot water in cool water.
Close.
Whatever. Close enough.
Yep. So you know, it's the weather is here is cooler than. I mean, for people who live here, it's cold.
Yeah.
For people who live in Minnesota, it's fucking miserably hot.
Sorry, man.
Sweat is pouring off your head.
No worries, Paul.
Here, let me do this again. Anyways, school staff in Palmdale are facing an investigation into a photo post this week. The staff are seen pointing at a noose. I don't know if nooses mean the same thing here as they mean everywhere else. It seems like they do. Members of the diverse community of Palmdale asked for an explanation. And the school district's explanation was teachers on to the staff is on administrative leave right here at the end of the shit.
Yeah, Palmdale, diverse.
Hmm. Yeah, so anyways, hopefully the kids will hang.
That's
in
the funniest
there
part of the story.
Until the end of the year. Hang in there until the okay.
Oh me. God. I hang in there joke.
Yeah, man, I don't know what they're like. Oh, okay, look, it gets better. It gets better. There's some dead people here in a second. All right. a couple die of fevered ego syndrome.
Couple die of beaver eagle syndrome?
Fever. Sorry, not beaver. No,
not
no
beaver eagle. Fevered ego.
Fevered ego.
Okay, man, I'm sorry. I couldn't catch that.
No worries.
That's all right.
A 25-year-old male and a 19-year-old female were erased from the gene pool when their Lamborghini was cut in half by a tree after colliding with a Jeep Cherokee. The exotic car was being operated at extreme speeds and at the neglect of everyone's safety. When the laws of physics stopped in and, you know, saved us.
Dropped in for a visit.
So there's the two people that we didn't fucking need. And they're funny.
They're gone.
That's funny. They're gone.
That is hysterical.
That is. That's what I think. I mean, the fucking picture's pretty good. There's no blood. You're going to have to wait for a few weeks before the fucking crime scene's posted on or whatever you call it on Reddit.
I'll Photoshop some shit together.
Me too.
Oh, no, you won't.
All right. That's my fetish. Okay. All right. The next title actually starts with the word okay, Paul. It's okay. Now the threats matter.
Okay, what? I'm sorry.
Now the threats matter.
Okay. Now the threats matter.
Canyon Country, California? Is that a...
Yeah.
Fucking, okay.
No, that's so, a real place.
Sounds like the name of a pinball machine.
It's not like it's a suburb or something, or I don't know the fuck this town
No, there's
works.
A real city called Canyon.
Oh, it's a fucking... Yeah, okay, yeah. It's a city.
Whereabouts is that, Mark?
You know, I think that's kind of in... I know that this is a real city. I think it's down by... I think it's up Ventura Way.
Okay. Right. Down there. Morgan, do you know where it is?
All right. She doesn't have a clue. She's
no,
from
I mean, she's
Mary.
She's fairly right. new here, but sometimes that's, you know, beginner's luck kind of
I'm
thing.
I'm from Massachusetts. We're going to take a drive in our car around the pack. You like apples? You like these apples?
Oh, God. Get
yeah,
out
sorry,
of here.
Sorry. I didn't have a choice, man. It's the only Boston thing I know. All right.
Yeah, you've been
on.
Watching Good Will Hunting too much.
Yeah, all my life. Okay, so Canyon Country, California.
Yeah.
A La Mesa junior high student was detained Tuesday for threatening to shoot up the school. He's been threatening to shoot up the school for months.
Since he was a kindergartner.
Yeah, bro. Right.
I built a Lego gun, right. Fuckers, back
and
off.
I did not teach this kid to threaten to shoot up a school.
No.
I didn't teach him that.
No.
I never met this kid.
You're not even from here.
Anyways, the school principal contacted parents to explain the ongoing investigation. There were no specific threats against people, but authorities felt that now that the school year's pulling to a close and they got a little bit of budget left that they got to spend, they need to justify that budget. So they arrested a teenager and said, he says he's been making jokes about shooting up the school because he fucking hates school. And so they're going to come down hard on this fucking kid. Anyways. Yep.
What is this logo? Is this logo on the wall, danger, laser light being emitted? Is that what that is?
That's the old Nerdist logo.
Oh, because it.
Who are the Nerdists? I don't know anything about the
Nerdists. Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick has a podcast network, The Nerdist. Okay. Well, it's a whole multimedia. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge, but I don't know because I'm.
He doesn't know Chris.
I don't know Chris.
No,
I don't know anything.
You don't know Shipmates?
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
No, man.
Okay.
He did the show after The Walking Dead, Talking right. Dead.
The Talking Dead?
Well, he's like a guy that's not a nerd that has appropriated nerd culture and now is making millions off it.
Fucking and, thank you.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, by the way, Canyon Country is by Santa Clarita.
Okay.
And I was just in Santa Clarita 2 weeks ago to see Vanilla Ice, but that's a whole different story.
Oh Santa God. Clarita, real
Speaking
place.
Of like taking over people's culture, right? I mean, Vanilla Ice.
What's he doing? Is he still doing home repair shows?
No, I saw him. He was doing a tequila and tacos festival in Santa Clarita up by Canyon Country.
As Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he did the ninja rap. And he had four guys with ninja costumes come out, Ninja Turtles. It's the most gangster thing I've ever seen in my life.
Jesus Christ.
It's pretty gangster. You know, he's from
very gangster.
He's from a very gangster part of Dallas, Texas.
Are you from Dallas?
Well, I'm not from Dallas. I'm from Lubbock, which is in the panhandle, the shitty, the fucking handle of the toilet of Texas.
And, hey, Rick, Tommy, remember when I talked about Chinatown and I talked about that big-ass the dam breaking? Well, that was based on that. There was a dam up near Santa Clarita that broke in the 1920s.
Oh yeah, we did the pictures on the show, right?
Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't I have
that was up.
I had images of that on the show, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Santa Clarita, real place. Santa Carla from the Lost Boys, not real.
Lost Boys.
Right. Exactly.
And that was a fucking correction.
Yeah.
That was a correction.
Yep.
Got that wrong.
Yeah. We did get it wrong. It sounded
not
real. It had a Santa in front of it.
Somebody
we thought that's real.
I get it.
All right.
Anyways, I don't know what the fuck we were talking about, but we're moving on to the next thing.
Some people died.
Yeah, those people died, and I was. Oh no! This was just
funny.
Some fucking kid. This was just some like they just.
Oh, that was the school shooting kid.
Yeah, the school shooting kid was just a bunch of like, hey, we got to exaggerate the seriousness of this threat to make ourselves feel like heroes. This kid's he's almost like 13, and he's got access to the internet and a phone, but not guns. Anyways, moving on to the next one. Town folk express concern.
Town folk express concern.
Emmanuel Moncada, 32, was up to his normal morning routine at the intersection of Venice and Fairfax, throwing rocks at buses and cars when something odd happened. It pissed people off. Video surfaced a few minutes later of passersby tackling and beating this guy, the ever-living shit out of this motherfucker. Other video later posted shows the larger incident where he's throwing rocks at buses and cars. Did you see any of this shit?
I haven't seen anybody throw rocks at cars.
All right, so we saw a guy standing in the road, but that was more like
us.
Oh well, I was crossing the
road. Oh yeah, you were crossing.
I was trying to get to the other side. But we saw one guy standing in the middle of the road, but that was more like I think.
Oh, you're talking about the Sam Jackson America guy? Yeah.
He was kind of that was sad. That was actually sad.
There's a lot of sad that's two people.
I feel bad about that, but you know, everybody else in the country is exporting them here, right? Because this is the place where you don't burn them to death.
Well, also, you know, no cold, no snow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be homeless, I guess this is the place to be.
Because my hometown. Oh, I reported a homeless guy. Oh, he's missing now. But nobody gives a shit, but the cops know where he is. Yeah. Anyways.
Look for the noose.
Yeah, look for the noose. Oh, man, that's not wrong. That's not wrong. Anyways, other videos showing boarding a stopped bus, and everybody's running, but not everybody. It's a handful of people that stick behind, and they're like, this is over. They did street justice. The cops arrived like 7.5 hours later, whatever.
Yeah, that's welcome to L.A.
Yeah, is that right? I don't know, man. Our cops show.
They got a lot to do.
Yeah, do they? Oh my god, I bet that's true. All right, are we okay?
Have you heard the helicopters yet?
I've seen helicopters.
They're usually police copters. Oh, yeah,
looking for some shit.
Well, yeah, there's usually something going on.
Yeah, there's always something going on. Yeah. Well, we'll get up to some of that later.
Okay.
A lady with places to be, Paul.
A lady with places to be.
Julie Ann Rainbird, 52, is having a bad life. She's been charged with fleeing officers, hit and run, cruelty to an animal, assault with a deadly weapon. This all happened as she was attempting to avoid police after stealing an RV, very large, like I guess the biggest RV they had, from the Giant RV in Downey. Right?
Downey.
Yeah. Downey versus Anaheim.
We'll be talking about that in a sec.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, so this popped up. Anyways. The chase ran for a fucking 40-mile, like it just ran kind of
in an RV.
In a fucking RV. So she's bouncing off cars all left and right, but they just fucking, they rip some of the shit off, but she just keeps going like a tank.
She was reenacting the opening scene from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. There's some good video of this. The fucking cameraman, these fucking sky cameramen, I guess they're doing the best they can, but it's fucking...
Yeah.
You know, fucking, it's like attached to some kind of massage
vibrator. Get a gimbal. Come on. Get something.
Get something. Fucking
attached to a vibrator.
Steady cam.
Right. Seriously, like, I don't know, like a chainsaw, and it just kind of spins.
It's an RV, not a Honda. You can get it.
Yeah, I would think that. So they miss it, but you get to see it as it kind of launches through a backyard and then lands back out in the street across the whatever. Anyway, it eventually collides with it. So it circles this other car, like, in about a 4-block radius. So this driver must have done something to piss her off. But she comes back around for him. Like she takes a couple of blocks, comes back and just rams him off the road. He picked up some bruised and broken ribs and punctured lungs, some other shit.
This was not her first stolen RV experience. She's done this before.
She hasn't made neither her or her attorneys, and she's got attorneys. Nobody's released a formal statement, but, she probably wants to talk to the manager. She's got someplace important to be. She looks like the kind of person that...
She no longer wants to purchase this unit either because it's all scratched up.
This is a little bit of damage to that vehicle. All right, that was the news. This is the bonus. This is the bonus story.
Bonus story.
I don't
know
if this is like is government the same everywhere. I mean, I generally like public services, but sometimes
incompetent. Yes.
Yeah, like you're right. I mean, it's the people at the bottom are doing the best they can, but the management's a piece of shit. Paul, diseases are all a part of the job.
What are? I'm sorry?
Diseases
are all a part of the job. There you go. Yep.
There we go. Whatever. Good shit. Department of Recreation and Parks. It's not Parks and Recreation here? Anyways.
It's a TV show. I don't know.
That's a TV show.
I don't know anything about it. Department
it's based
of
on a real thing, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They're parks.
They tend to the parks.
Anyways, Department of Recreation and Parks, which is a thing here in California, management is telling employees to pound sand this week. Several dozen lifeguard employees taking part in recertification process. I guess they do this every year right before the summer. You know, like, kids are going to be out there. They got to get, you know, take the CPS class, CPA class, you know, I don't know.
CPA class?
Yeah, fucking.
They're not accountants.
Well, they're going to do their taxes.
Oh, okay. That'd be great if you could just lay on the beach and your taxes are done while you lay there. Man, fucking sweet.
Fucking hand out guns and you kill yourself. Anyways, several dozen lifeguard employees, blah, blah, blah. So they're out there doing their exercises. Well, they came down with rashes. Like, they got shit all over them. Apparently, there are parasites all over this water.
That's what that girl on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That must have been what happened to her.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, even if it isn't, we're going to say it is. We're just going to lie.
Yeah, a girl went by on a scooter a little while ago. She looked generally clean and clean clothes, but her legs were completely welted top to bottom.
Oh.
So you'll have to tell me about this, the neighborhood. The events took place at Hanson Dam Lake.
I'm not familiar with Hanson Dam Lake, but let me check it out.
Lake View Terrace, does that mean?
Oh, I know what that is. Okay.
It's in the valley.
Yeah, it's a valley.
There, thanks, Paul.
All right, anyways, this lake apparently has a history of shit and parasites and all kinds of garbage, but the city claims that that's not true, even though there's documented history. They say there's no documented history.
Right.
So all these people are
there. What city was that? Flint, Michigan, or
yeah, right. Yeah. Flint, fucking yeah. Well, you know, the water in Flint, Michigan is normal.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Now it's been so long that now that's the new normal.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I think so.
Fire water, as the Indians called it.
So exercises usually take place in safer waters of Cabrillo Beach.
Oh,
where we were.
Yeah, where Cabrillo's we just
the,
were there.
In the valley too. Yeah.
San Pedro.
Or yeah, the real West Valley, kind of by Malibu.
Way the fuck down. Way the fuck down.
So they're out of luck. The city just summarily made a, yeah. Oh, you're on your own. Yeah. Fucking get treated and come back when you're healthy.
Yeah.
Hey, Paulie Mo.
Yo.
We gotta keep it tight, but I think it's appropriate that you talk about your project real quick.
Yeah, real quick. It's a documentary. It's going to be geared towards PBS audiences. It's called A Last Hurrah. And it is a documentary about the golden age of high school football in Southern California in the 1950s. And that was back in a time when Southern California, outside of Los Angeles and San Diego and Long Beach, big port cities, was made up of a lot of small towns. A lot of orange groves, separated by a lot of orange groves. And the towns, you know, were, you name them. I mean, Anaheim, Fullerton, and then anywhere else around the Southland, you know, a lot of them were represented by just one high school. So high school football was really the big ticket because there was only one professional sports team in town, and that was the Los Angeles Rams. And so Friday Night Lights was a real big thing, kind of like it is in small town Texas today. And the high watermark of that era was a game in 1956 played between Downey and Anaheim high schools that drew an estimated 60,000 fans to the L.A. Coliseum. It was a big deal. It was a time of high school sports were real big, and high school football was the biggest. And so I really wanted to chronicle that era when the sport was king. And but also, it's not just about football. It's really about the changing landscape of Southern California, the transformation of it from the way it was before World War II, which is largely agricultural and not so much of a burgeoning city, but post World War II, of course, when the population was exploding due to so many jobs, people seeking so many jobs in aerospace and defense and entertainment, and the area grew so big that the significance of that time was really lost. I mean, it just kind of got basically paved over, literally, with freeways and everything else. Into really leading up to what it is today. And it's not so much of a nostalgia piece as it is really just kind of like a look at another time when high school football was king. And when, you know, the big men on campus were really, they were real. So I've interviewed a lot of people who played in that game, people from that, who went to school in that era, and they're just really talking about that particular time. I have a website. It's called the website URL is alasthurrahmovie.com. That's H U R R A H, alasthurrahmovie.com. And I've been working on it for about 2.5 years. I was working on it today. I'll be working on it again this weekend. I want to get a rough cut out real soon, but we could use your help. So if you want to go to the website, there's ways to donate. And it's going to be a good project. It's really starting to come together. It's still, you know, I'm going to need more money, get stock footage to get music rights. And if you want to check out more about, you know, what it's about, there's some media. There's like a trailer, and there's other kinds of photos and like a flip book that you can check out on the website. And I could really use your support. So if you're listening out there, Angelinos, and you want to see this come to fruition, just we could use your help. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, P. All right, we got a May theme. We're not going to show the picture here because we don't have a TV in this studio here. But the May theme is cool booze bottles. We have a theme on the show. Every month of the year has a theme. It's whatever. It could be anything. And every week has a picture and a set of words associated with the theme. May's theme was cool booze bottles. So tonight's picture that'll be on our website is a picture of the frozen ghost vodka. In the U.S., here's what they say. I just like to read what they say. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This isn't what I'm saying. I've never tried the shit. It just has a great bottle. In the U.S., vodka is one of the most popular spirits and brands around. Trying to eke a profit in this saturated market takes a lot of effort. Several companies employ celebrity spokespeople. Others rely on the shape of their bottle. Frozen Ghost, which made its debut in 2010, is trying a new tactic, the scary backstory. The company would have you believe the water used to make the spirit comes from a pond that is cursed, haunted by the spirit of a jealous farmer who tried to steal the amazing liquid for his own use. When the product first launched, a series of cinematic trailers were released in movie theaters around the country detailing the fable in horror movie style. Supernatural or not, the pure springs of Western Canada are famous for the clarity and sweetness of their water, so the spirit distilled from Canadian grains is smooth and crisp, especially after 6 filtrations.
Bullshit.
Grey Goose is 3 filtrations.
It's all bullshit.
Well, the filtration thing isn't.
How the fuck can I trust anything anybody says after they say, it's fucking haunted?
That's the stuff you're supposed
to trust.
Oh,
shit, I don't know,
you
man.
Like horror shit.
Yeah, I like horror shit.
No, it's like... it's better water from there than Lakeview Terrace where they're having...
Yeah, it's on fire. Maybe it is.
Our vodka comes straight from the faucets of Flint, Michigan. It's fire vodka. Yeah, fire. Well, what is real in this story is filtration. You've seen the OhMyGodItBurns.com website. You ever seen that?
No.
It's a bunch of nerds in lab coats, and they do scientific experiments on vodka until they're trashed.
Nice.
And their experiment is... We can take any vodka, the shittiest, dustiest garbage on the floor level of the liquor store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And run it through a Brita filter until it's the most beautiful vodka you've ever had. And so they do.
Wow.
And apparently it's true.
Mm.
So filtration matters. But you can do it yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. I'm fucking tired of bullshit. Like the fucking... So the best one is the aged at sea.
Oh, God, don't get into it.
Okay, fine.
He'll be an hour on this.
So you can take Boone's Farm, run it through the filter, and it's going to be... Champagne? I mean,
it's not going to be champagne. But
well, then you'd have to add bubbles. But yeah, he'd be on the right track.
Okay. Yeah, it's some of the I don't know.
The words of the theme are from the fifth track off the 2005 White Stripes album, Get Behind Me, Satan. The track is titled Little Ghost.
You didn't give me a chance to say it, but Jerry's wrong.
Oh, Jerry's always wrong.
Jerry's wrong.
Well, you want to get into it?
I don't care.
Find water. We do a thing on the show called Fucking Corrections. And what Fucking Corrections is we are a show about truth. We're a show about honesty. We don't want to give people false information, but it does happen. I think Paul actually is the best at explaining the importance of the segment. Paul, can you do it quickly?
Well, basically, you have to listen to every show, because if you don't listen to every show, you're going to miss the fucking corrections. And if you miss the fucking corrections from the previous episode, you're going to go out into the world. You're going to eventually say something that is not true. you're going to hear it on the show. And before Tom has had a chance to correct it, you're going to go out and you're going to give erroneous, bogus information unknowingly. You're going to get your ass kicked, or you're going to end up, somebody's going to piss you off and you're going to beat the shit out of them and end up in jail. So it's very important that you listen to every show to get the truth.
Thanks, Paul. That is it. Now, keep in mind, as you're guessing, these are corrections from 2 weeks ago, because last week was a best of show. Yeah. So these are 2 weeks old. So we're going to go around the room. You would have no clue, but... Nobody really has a clue. How many mistakes do you think we made 2 weeks ago?
6.
Okay.
3
for Morgan.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 7.
7 for Gary. Paul?
I think 4.
Wait, what did you say? You said three. You said seven was correct. Seven is the amount of corrections we had. And here's what they are. These are from episode 434. What was that?
He's bumped.
He was fucking close.
I was
close.
Very close.
Look,
I was very close.
Most people who have not been on the show before or haven't listened to it a whole bunch guess wildly off base. He was right on the fucking money.
Yeah, well,
if you hadn't guessed seven,
I was going to guess six.
Right, because we do Price is Right rules. Closes without going over.
Right,
so you would have gotten it. Yeah, so very nice. Very nice work. And you too. You guys were all in the realm. Some people come on the show and they're like, 27? Oh, fuck. What do you think we are, dumb? Jesus. All right. well, yeah, sometimes we all have our days, right?
I went to public schools.
Number one, during an early chat, special guest Josh. Josh was on the show that week. Noted that. What did you think of Josh, Paul?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Josh was lit up like a Roman candle.
Josh came in with a beer and ended up drinking six more.
He drank a shitload of beers.
By the time we got to Paul's segment, Josh was trashed and fucking annoying. Anyway,
yeah, that was good.
Josh noted that his birthday was May 13th, and he thought it was the same day as the official founding of Jamestown. Sorry, buddy, no dice. In fact, when we recorded that show on the 10th, Jamestown's anniversary had already happened. The Jamestown settlement in the colony of Virginia was the first permanent English settlement in the Americas. It was located on the east bank of the James, now Powhatan River, about 2.5 miles southwest of the center of modern Williamsburg, established by the Virginia Company of London as James Fort on May 4th,
1607.
Yeah. Hey. And then that led to another bullshit correction. That previous Jonestown question led to someone inevitably asking, when did Jonestown occur? Jonestown, a little bit different than Jamestown.
Yeah, but...
Pauly said he thought it was 1978. The People's Temple Agricultural Project, better known by its informal name Jonestown, was a remote settlement established by the People's Temple, a cult under the leadership of Jim Jones in northwestern Guyana. The temple, or Jonestown, was first settled and given special government treatment in 1974, but the Jonestown Massacre, which made the settlement internationally known, occurred on November 18th, 1978. Nice work, Pauly.
Yeah.
Total
thank
of
you,
nine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shit worked
welcome.
Out, man. It should fucking ended great.
Yeah. Total of 918 people died in the settlement at the nearby airstrip in Port Katuma and the temple-run building in Georgetown, Guyana's capital city. The name of the settlement became synonymous with the incident at those locations. They all drank cyanide-laced grape flavorade at Jones's instruction on what has become known as the death tape. Jones himself died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Yay! Yay. Shot in the fucking face.
I don't know. I like it. I think more religion should... That's the kind of thing I like. I'm not saying it always needs to be grape.
I didn't know that was a flavor.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know. But I thought they had like a whole assortment, like Hawaiian punch.
Shark toothberry. What's that, Paul?
Tiki punch, lemonade.
I wish you were here, Paul, because we're going to go drink some tiki punch after this, I think. Yeah,
drinking
the
shit out of it.
Are you a tiki tea regular, Mark?
I've never been to Tiki Tea. As
well. Oh, what are you doing tonight, man? That's our favorite place. We know everybody there. We love it.
Well, I know one person.
Who do you know?
Mike.
Oh, and Mike? You know both Mikes.
I don't recognize anybody.
Oh, dad and son.
Yeah. Both those guys are named Mike?
Yeah, they're Mike and Mike.
I don't know who I know.
All right. Number three, this took some work, thanks, Gary. During an early chat, Gary asked, when did fucking corrections begin? I guessed 2013. The first official fucking correction segment goes all the way back to episode number 40, which aired 10-9-2011.
Oh, my God.
So we have been doing them for 8 years. Yeah. Number four, during...
Since I was old. I've gotten younger now.
Yeah, I know. Benjamin Button over here.
Yep.
Number four, during the last hurrah plug, Paulie mentioned the LA Rams... was pretty sure they moved to L.A. in 1951. Sorry, Paul. The Rams franchise was founded in 1936 as the Cleveland Rams in the short-lived Second American Football League before joining the NFL the next year. In 1946, the franchise moved to L.A. 46.
Wow, Tom, you sound very knowledgeable about sports ball.
Well, I got paper right in front of me here.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Yeah, I got info. I don't know shit about sports ball.
I was about to give you a hard time.
I have to do fucking corrections ball. No matter what it's about.
All right.
I got no choice. It's
still
the parameters
sure
of the
fucking
thing about the shit. The Rams franchise remained in the metro area until 1994 when they moved to St. Louis and were known as St. Louis Rams from 95 to 2015. The Rams franchise returned to L.A. in 2016. So,
yeah, they should call themselves the Patriots.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think of that?
Well, I was thinking 1951 because I think that's the year that they won the NFL championship. And just like that, folks, I've introduced another fucking career.
Yeah, you've a daily double, you fucker. All right.
Yeah, that's a daily double.
Number five, during an odd tidbit regarding the sinking library building at Indiana University, Gary asked, how far has it sank? We have stumbled upon a bad odd tidbit here, my friends. We usually do some odd tidbits. I generally fact-check these, but this one slipped through. According to urban legend, the IU main library is sinking by an inch a year because the architect failed to take into account the weight of the books that were going to be in the library. The legend is actually much older than IU's main library. It all stems from a general category of urban legends known as the architect's blunder. That's a category. Or a legend told about a specific location, such as a bridge or a notable building. An oversight by the architect leads to some catastrophic problem. The structure may be sinking, backward, leaning. In some versions, the architect is alleged to have committed suicide after discovering the mistake too late. The library is sinking somewhat, as many large buildings do, but it's not an inch a year, and it is not due to miscalculating the amount of books that were to be housed there. So it's a bullshit odd tidbit.
Curious. There is a neighborhood in Lubbock, Texas, my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to name names because I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Lake Ridge. Got a community. And part of it, at least part of it, in Lake Ridge? No. But are there lakes in Lubbock? There is a Lake Ridge. There's a lake at Lake Ridge. It is 100 feet by 18 feet, the lake, whatever.
Anyways, is there a ridge there?
No, I don't think so. It's fucking flat.
You just stumped them.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I'm not correcting that.
I don't think that there's a ridge. There might be. If there is, it's man-made. It is not a natural. There are no changes in elevation in this town anywhere. It's all completely flat. Any change in elevation is man-made. It's all, you know, if somebody's got steps that go up, and most people don't, but if they do, there are no basements.
Right.
Everything's just concrete right on the fucking ground. Some of them fall over, some of them don't.
The people?
And the houses.
Got it.
But I'm just saying this Lake Ridge is built on previously what used to be a landfill. They just covered it in dirt. Now many of the houses do sink.
Fucking houses.
It's
fucking awesome.
Wow. It's like that scene in Holy Grail. Built it on a swamp.
Which is good.
And it sank. So they built
houses,
it again.
Houses in these neighborhoods goes for three to five, six times the average cost of a house.
In Lubbock, $22,000, right?
Yeah, right. Fucking whatever. Peanuts.
Does the outhouse come with it, too?
I mean, you'd be surprised.
Well, it sank.
Yes.
So there was a house that I did like in a cool, like, it's a working class neighborhood, but it's a fun, like, it was the only thing in Lubbock that I liked. It was across the street from the only fucking library in South Lubbock, like, there are two libraries in Lubbock, and one of them went away, and everybody was like, we didn't need that. Put a bar there. They put a fucking bar where the library used to be. Because, you know, it's Texas. They're fucking great. But the house I want is on about an acre. Mm-hmm. It's like 3,200 square feet, 3,500 square feet. Pick it up right now for $155. It's fucking beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful home. It's a big piece of land.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's in Lubbock.
Yeah, but it's fucking... It's not
in Lake Ridge, though.
No, it's not in Lake Ridge.
No.
Just across the street from a neighborhood called Rush, which is where the real money lives.
Across the street from a neighborhood called Landfill.
Yeah, fucking... Oh, God, the whole town is shit. It smells like garbage.
Number six, at the intro to Cinema Poly D, so I said half of Back to the Future was shot with Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly before they decided it wasn't working out and they needed Michael J. Fox. You guys know this, right?
Yeah.
Paulie adamantly disagreed and said he thought it was just a couple of weeks of Stoltz. Stoltz shot for a month and a half. The final 3 days of his Back to the Future journey, nearly everyone but Stoltz knew he was out and that Fox was replacing him. They continued to shoot scenes they knew would be cut because they didn't have all of their firing ducks in a row. 6 weeks is half to more than half of that total shoot time. So,
apparently, in the movie, there are some reaction shots where it is Stoltz.
Yeah.
Like when they're going, like when the camera's on Crispin Glover, like you see his hand or you see his shoulder, that's Stoltz. That's not Michael J. Fox.
If they could get away with it, they did, certainly.
Absolutely. Holy shit.
Because it was already going way the fuck over budget with that.
And I've seen stills. I've actually seen some silent footage of Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, real rough cut shit. Yeah.
So is it someplace?
No, it's in the vaults.
Yeah.
Fucking, why is there a vault? Why is there not just like a.
Well, there has to be a vault.
There's no money in it. I mean, there's not that big a demand for it.
Money in it, but it's
maybe Richard Donner should get involved. He's good at getting cuts made that don't exist.
Yeah,
possibly. I don't know, but I read something about it recently. They said because he's out of respect for Eric Stoltz, who's still a working actor and trying to get gigs, they don't want to show him not fitting the role.
Okay.
Right, that's fair.
That's fair.
And Eric Stoltz would probably try to sue if they did. He'd be like, fuck you, this is dirty shit.
But Back to the Future is one of those movies. It's like a perfect movie.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect movie because Michael J. Fox is so good. I think he should have gotten an Oscar for that. Christopher Lloyd, too.
Yeah.
Because who else would have been as good?
Nobody. Yeah. Can't even picture it.
When you fall in love with somebody's character because it's positive.
Excuse me. Hey, Mark, I'm sorry. You said out of respect for Eric Stoltz what? I didn't catch that.
Well, I said out of respect for Eric Stoltz because he's still a working actor. He's still trying to get gigs. That they're not going to show him not fitting a role and not, you know, not doing a role properly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't see what the harm is. I mean, it's Eric Stoltz now. He's like 55. He's not 25 now.
We fucking adore him. Yeah, I mean, he was fucking
doing
some shit.
Fuck yeah.
But I would love, I mean, I just, as a fan, I'm curious. I'm just curious.
Well, you can watch pieces.
Well, you can find pieces. Well, you can, what they should do is release all the Eric Stoltz thing. And then in the remake of Back to the Future, which you know they're going to make, have him play Doc.
Yeah.
Something, there you
man.
Go.
I'm fucking
waiting. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah, nice. Who the fuck else could play Doc?
Not a bad idea.
We gotta keep moving.
Well, there's plenty of people that
we'll
can play Doc.
Out.
But,
Number 7, final one. During Cinema Pauly D's, so Pauly mentioned that he thought actor Richard Basehart was a Brit. John Richard Basehart was born August 31st, 1914 in Zanesville, Ohio. He died in Los Angeles in 1970 following a series of strokes.
Oh, fuck.
Strokes, more comedy.
You have one of those strokes. What explains his accent? He kind of makes...
Fakes it?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Those were the days when strokes happened to old people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now they're happening to like Luke Perry and John
Singleton. Oh, God,
John
52.
Singleton. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you watch Riverdale at all?
No.
That's an addictive show. Do you watch Riverdale? Fuck yeah. Now, are you up to speed? Are you current?
Come on, Morgan, get on the mic.
Yeah, we need you.
Now
over.
We're talking, so your language.
So I...
Well, here's the thing. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Paul. No, I was going to say, I've seen parts of it, but my problem is whenever I watch it, I just want a milkshake. So I can't really watch it.
You
want
to go to Pops and grab a milkshake?
I just want a milkshake every time.
Why can't
time.
You have just have a milkshake every fucking... Look at me.
Oh, no. I live very close to Shake Shack. Like, it happens a lot, which is why I can't watch it, because I every time go get a milkshake.
Can you have your sister, like, handcuff you to the chair and then...
I mean, it's pretty terrible television, but it's fun to watch. I'm not a huge fan, but, like, I loved the original Archie,
okay.
So...
Well, me and Paul are junkies for that show, believe it or not.
That's hysterical to me. It's weird to see Luke Perry on it.
Well, it's weird, but what's happened is, I swear to God, I haven't read this anywhere, but I think what they're doing, I think they're using footage from previous years, because Luke suddenly isn't an interactive character anymore. They're showing him in the audience watching Archie and clapping, and I'm like,
yeah, they didn't kill off his character, right?
They didn't kill his character. He's just not present.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they're going to eventually write him out, but...
Well, I think Molly McButter, what's her name? Molly Ringwald. The mom.
Molly McButter.
Yeah, she's already popping back in. I think she's going to be filling in the Luke Perry.
I love how I had to come over here because I needed to tell you all about milkshakes. That was like what was really important to me and why I made that face, and less so of Riverdale. Was like,
that's
cool.
I'll watch
you talk about milkshakes.
What
kind of needed to hear that? We love that.
Your vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry?
Coffee. Secret option.
You know, or any shake, dump in a shot of espresso. Boom.
Yeah. I will have to do that.
Do it. Absolutely do it. Yep. So, Paul, tell us how much you love Riverdale. Actually, the production quality is very high, is what's great about it.
No, it is actually good. The funny thing is, I'm 56 years old. I am not their demographic. And I, even though I remember the comic when I was a kid, and it came around, I think it started in the 40s, but I remember it from the 60s and 70s. I never really read it. I knew of it and all of that, but it was never really part of my wheelhouse. But for some reason, I do really, really like that show. I guess maybe because it's kind of like the underbelly of Riverdale. You know, it's kind of like Riverdale on crack.
If you think your town has problems.
Yeah, no shit. That is the most fucked up, dysfunctional town in the world. Normally, I mean, I like brunettes, and both Betty and Veronica are beautiful. But in this particular case, that blonde who plays Betty, holy cow, that is one blonde I can get behind, let me tell you.
You're a perv, Paul.
So wait, this is a gritty version of Archie Comics?
Oh, it's super dirty.
Oh, okay.
The whole town is corrupt as fuck. Everybody's evil. There's drugs, there's shit, there's gangs.
Well, I got to ask Morgan one more question. Betty or Veronica?
Yeah.
She's got an opinion.
Well, for me, normally it's Veronica, but in this case, it's Betty.
Again, I'm here for milkshakes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay, what do you
but
watch?
But if we could turn milkshakes into Betty or Veronica, right.
Which milkshake would you drink?
I don't think I watch enough to really care. It's kind of one of those things that I put on in the background. Like, I can appreciate...
Well, what about the comics?
Oh, in the comics? Oh, well.
There we go.
There we go. We got
Veronica is too needy.
Yeah.
Too needy. Betty.
Okay.
Betty.
Boom.
All right, what do you watch, though? You say Riverdale's not your thing. Something.
I end up watching a lot of Parks and Recreation.
That's funny. We just talked about that.
Yeah, I have a cat. His name is Pawnee. Like, I'm that kind of fan. So
nice.
Yeah. Okay. I like Parks and Rec and other stuff.
Cool.
But yeah.
All right, so
Paul, are you ready
Morgan
for
sits at home and watches Parks and Rec over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, with a milkshake.
With a milkshake.
Yeah.
A coffee
with
milkshake.
A cat named a milkshake.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Betty and Veronica for you.
Yeah. Huh? The fucking, I don't know. Allison Janney.
She's not on that show.
She is for me.
Okay. Allison Janney.
Allison Janney's hot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Nobody's disagreeing.
Good looking girl.
Yeah, they are.
And apparently single, too.
Well, nobody in this room is.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
She was saying they had her on the red carpet. She's like, yeah, I think I'm ready to date now.
Oh, my God.
She works right next door. You better go over there and get her.
Yeah, I'm late.
Yeah.
She should have said that while she was on West Wing. Now I'm married.
Did you say whether you were Betty or Veronica?
Veronica's the dark-haired one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I meant to.
Yeah, I'm going there, too. Absolutely.
She's a little needy, but I kind of like needy women, so.
Right on. Yeah. Pauly, are you ready for us?
You bet your ass.
Time for Cinema Pauly Diso.
Yes, indeed. No music thing.
What is Eric Stoltz playing tonight? I'm not going to even venture a guess.
Well, you know, we were talking about Riverdale. It's interesting because Eric Stoltz is playing the Jug.
Oh, no, you didn't. The Jug.
Yeah,
that's a Jughead reference, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm. Yeah, he's blown in the jug like a redneck.
Sweet.
Really fucking subtle.
If he keeps doing that, he's going to have a stroke, too.
I hope he does.
Then we're going to have to replace
him. He's about that
him.
Age.
Yeah, he's right yeah. in there, right
perfect,
in the pocket.
Perfect age to have a stroke.
Yep.
Just like me.
What do you got for us tonight, Pete?
Well, Cinema Pauly Diso is in a way, it's a tribute tonight. We lost one of our best actors not too long ago, the great Albert Finney. You recall that, right? A few weeks ago.
Yes.
And tonight I would like to talk about
Annie
briefly about one of his. Pardon me?
Oh, fuck.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I missed that. This is one of his breakthrough films. This is Saturday Night and Sunday Morning.
Okay, from what year?
And 1960, 1960, 60. And this is Albert Finney starring in Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. It is one of the kitchen sink dramas. You may
kitchen
recall
sink.
That on a previous episode, I discussed another kitchen sink drama, mm-hmm. which was part of what was known as the British New Wave.
Yeah.
And kitchen sink dramas were they were gritty films. They largely showed the working class of Britain, which was new at that time. British cinema had focused on a lot more traditional themes, you know, like God and country and royalty and maybe the upper crust. And British films really hadn't really explored in the late 50s is when they first kicked off. They hadn't really explored the working class, the masses. And the kitchen sink dramas were really kind of like showing an angst that a lot of these young filmmakers were feeling and writing about. And we talked about another one some time ago, another seminal kitchen sink drama called This Sporting Life, which starred Richard Harris. Well, Richard Harris and probably Richard Burton and this man here, Albert Finney, were characters in some of the better films from that particular genre. This particular film, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning from 1960, was based on a book, novel of the same name by Alan Sillitoe, who also adapted his book and wrote the screenplay. It was directed by Carol Rice, and Carol Rice was part of that movement. Some of the better-known directors from that the British New Wave would have been Tony Richardson, who directed films well into the 1990s, I believe, and including Tom Jones in the 60s, which starred Albert Finney, and also John Schlesinger was also probably one of the better-known directors from that era as well. And he directed a couple of movies we've discussed on Pauly D. So Marathon Man, he directed that. And he also directed Midnight Cowboy, for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. This particular film, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, was really a breakthrough film in many ways for Albert Finney. He plays a young man who works in a factory. Like I said, it's working class. And it's very, very down and dirty. It's kind of like the ground level of a lot of industrial working class cities. This particular one, I believe, takes place in Nottingham. Much of it was filmed in Nottingham, but it could have been any number of cities in the Midlands, you know, Birmingham, perhaps, or Coventry, or Manchester. Often focused on people who wanted more out of life than what they had. And this is no exception. The common theme in the kitchen sink dramas was the angry young man, played really, really very, very with a lot of clarity and a lot of power and passion by Albert Finney. He's probably about 20, 21 years old, and he has a lot of disdain for the people who have accepted this particular type of life, even though he is working in this shit-ass factory with a lot of people who are older than him. He's doing the same kind of job, but he doesn't want to be doing it forever. And he doesn't have a whole lot of respect for those who are basically accepting it, you know, that this is their lot in life and this is what they're going to do. He's rather reckless. He's having an affair with an older woman, and she's married and has a child, and he works with her husband. And they, you know, they see each other at work, and they sometimes share lunch together and that type of a thing. And so he's taking some big risks, but he doesn't really have a sense he's somewhat of a selfish young man, but there's something about him that's really kind of appealing in a lot of the ways. He's very handsome, very charismatic, rather arrogant, but there is something about him that we like. He is on a collision course, though. As this film moves along, you realize that something's going to have to give, and he starts to take more chances. He meets a younger woman, too, and that throws a monkey wrench into the whole works. He has to make some decisions. These movies were pretty bold for their time. This particular movie deals with abortion in a very, very frank way. They don't actually use the word abortion. Abortion was illegal in Britain at that time. And although they speak about it very frankly, and they speak about it in some terms that are not very sympathetic. I mean, they're rather it's a matter of fact discussions, and with not a lot of compassion. But there's no ambiguity at all about what they're talking about. So things start to come to a head, and the drama itself it's understated in a way. It's not an over the top type of genre, but there is a lot of implied violence. Not necessarily with fisticuffs, although that does come about, but violence just in terms of emotional violence. I think this particular movie is a little more subdued than this Sporting Life, which the Richard Harris film I mentioned, which a lot of it took place on the rugby pitches. So there's a lot more brutality in terms of the physical violence. This one's really more of a, it's more understated, but it's really quite fascinating. It's documentary in style. Not a whole lot of it is handheld. Of course, it's shot in black and white, but it does have a documentary feel to it. You could practically smell the soot hanging in the air, you know, some of the landscapes as they on their weekends. And I think the reason it's called Saturday Night and Sunday Morning is because that's what they live for, a lot of them. He basically works all week in this factory, and then on Saturday night, he has his fling with his lady, this older woman, and then Sunday morning, basically starts to get ready to go back to work again. And I think it's really kind of like the culmination of blowing off steam all week. He blows off steam on the weekends because all week long he's basically saving up his wages so that he can get get pissed. They drink a lot, as they say. They got pissed.
And does he wear fishnets, Paul, in this movie?
Fishnets? No. He probably could have if somebody had asked him.
Okay.
I think he probably would have.
Cool.
But it's it's a good film. It really does I think illustrate that whole kitchen sink drama, which is a really really interesting subgenre that I want to explore more. I've seen a few films from that particular era. This one, along with This Sporting Life, I think are a couple of my favorites. It's a short film. It moves along at a pretty good pace, 89 minutes. It made some money. It was made for about roughly 100,000 pounds in 1960, and it made over 400,000 in the UK. So it did definitely turn
very
a
nice
profit. It's definitely it's somewhat of a sad film. Not so much because it's dreary, but because there's a certain inexorable quality to you get a feeling that even though the film is somehow left open-ended, you get a feeling that this young man, Arthur, who's played by Finney, that he is eventually going to have to accept what is ahead of him, even though you know he's never going to be happy in that particular line of work, working in a bicycle factory in Nottingham. It's not as dreary perhaps as it sounds, even though the setting is quite dreary itself. But I think that in a lot of ways the filmmakers wanted to explore what a lot of maybe their moviegoers were feeling, that even though movies were escapism, that people did want to see themselves in film. They wanted to see a reflection of themselves, their hopes and their dreams and their frustration. And they wanted to identify with the upper crust, you know, and maybe some of the other escapism type of films that they had been seeing, like American audiences had been seeing, you know, whether it was some sort of a swashbuckling seafarer type of movie, or whether it was a war drama, or whether it dealt with some sort of, you know, a period piece. I mean, certainly there was that kind of escapist fare. But they wanted to see, I think filmmakers recognized that audiences wanted to see themselves as well, and they wanted to see themselves dramatized on film, and this was a good genre in which to do that.
Cool. On the great big Cinema Paradiso scale, what do we got?
Yeah, scale of one to this gets 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Cool.
It's a really really good film, and I think it really kind of illustrated just you know how big of a star Finney was going to be. I think you look at this and you see a real talent, and it wasn't long before he became one of Britain's best actors, and that lasted for decades.
Cool.
So I would highly highly recommend it. Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, Carol Rice's kitchen sink drama from 1960.
Thank you, Cinema Paradiso.
My pleasure.
We got to breeze through this here. We're running over. We're keeping people from getting home and watching milkshakes.
Riverdale.
Yeah, Riverdale. We got a top 10 list for you tonight. Tonight's top 10 list comes to you from the MRR home office in Busted Whistle, Arkansas. We have the top 10 rejected Hollywood landmarks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hollywood has a lot of landmarks. Such and such was shot here. So and so used to live here. These people used to drink here. This guy dies here. Jack Nicholson buys his hot dogs here. There are a few unpopular or officially rejected Hollywood landmarks. Again, top 10 rejected Hollywood landmarks. Can I get a drum roll, please? Morgan. Woo! Okay, top 10 rejected Hollywood landmarks. Number 10, corner of building where W.C. Fields frequently urinated.
True.
Number 9, only spot in Hollywood that hasn't been used for a feature or a series.
Also true.
Number 8, golden bus bench commemorating 25th anniversary of Speed.
Whoa.
Number 7, the Museum of One-Hit Wonders. That should be a real thing.
Why did you reject that?
I don't know. That should be real. Number 6, Johnny Holmes Memorial Jizz Fountain.
I wouldn't have rejected
that's
that.
That's a creamy fountain.
I would have. I'm out.
Number 5, plaque on corner where Man Show Lemonade Stand once stood. Remember that kid? Andy
Milonakis.
Yeah.
He was like 30 and people thought he was 14.
Right, they were wiring shit to him. Yeah.
He looked 14. Yeah. He was 30?
Yeah, now he's like 50.
Yeah, he's like 65 or something.
Jesus Christ.
Number 4, a little cemetery that shows zero movies and hosts zero events except for funerals.
I know a few places like that.
You know some real
cemeteries? I know a lot of
places
like that, yeah.
Number three, that cafe where all the SEG extras like to hang out.
Oh, yeah. I hang out at that cafe, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's a rejected landmark. You know that.
Right. I know.
Number two, ATM, where Hannibal Smith famously said, "You have just hired the A-team." Remember that? He used to appear in weird spots. Yeah. He was in an ATM one time. And the number one, rejected Hollywood landmark, Sunset Boulevard Superman's used gum collection.
That's true.
Oh.
That is also true. Now, that exists, and I've heard about it.
Oh, yeah. You know Chris Dennis?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. Love Chris Dennis. All right. And real quick, birthdays, and we'll get the fuck out of here. Hey? Do we have time for that? This will take literally 3 minutes.
If they only have the gum and the fountain together.
The gum jizz fountain.
Yeah.
Would you like to read birthdays?
I can if you like.
Yeah, you should read these. Yeah.
All right, we got some birthdays here. Okay, do I say the whole shebang?
You could say the whole shebang. Normally we would do a Friday thing, but it's all whatever. Yeah, so the whole shebang.
Okay, so these are EM birthdays for the week of May 17th through May 30th. That's longer than a week.
Well, because we didn't do a thing last week, yeah.
Here's the whole shebang. Dirty comic and funniest video host, Bob Saget, 63.
63, Bob Saget.
Comic genius and former host of The Late Late Show, one of my father's favorites, Craig Ferguson, 57.
He was the best.
Yeah. Big fan. I actually just saw him in concert in November. Composer, musician, and arguably Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, 54.
Fuck yeah.
54, man.
Very, very careful. That's stroke age.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's right in the stroke range.
Mm-hmm.
Right in
the stroke range.
Mr. October, and, you know, he's always screaming and stuff. You know, blood vessel, the whole thing.
Blood vessel.
Yeah, Mr. October, MLB right fielder, not to mention the candy bar.
The candy bar guy.
Yes, Mr. Reggie Jackson, 73.
Wait, there's Baby Ruth.
No, they had Reggie bars, too.
They did?
Remember that?
No.
Dude, I don't know shit.
How old are you?
I'm older than I look. Anyway.
I don't know anything.
No. Lawrence Thoreau, do you know who that is?
I do.
He's the mighty Mr. T, 67.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That can't be right.
Speaking of the A-team.
Yeah, from the Great British Baking Show and the old Greg, half of the Mighty Boosh, the great Noel Fielding.
I love him.
46.
You a fan of Noel Fielding?
Yeah, I love the Mighty
Boosh. The
Boosh. Oh, it's awesome. Great. It's great. Smith's frontman, Stephen Patrick Morrissey, a.k.a. Morrissey, 60.
He's very sad.
And whiny.
He's very sad, 60.
He's 60. He's whiny, but every Mexican in L.A. loves him.
Really? Why? Well, what's the attraction?
Nobody knows.
What's going on?
He did a show.
She's laughing her ass off.
You know it's true.
I didn't know this.
It's absolutely true.
It's ridiculous.
You know, he did a show at the Forum with the Mexican group Jaguares.
Oh, and now he's in.
No, he did a whole tour called the Esteban Tour.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Every Mexican in L.A. loves Morrissey. I'm telling you.
He's changing his niche as he ages.
I will send you articles on that.
Okay,
the luscious, sexy, amazing Maggie Q. Wow.
Yes.
She's 40.
Is she only 40?
That's what it says.
Unbelievable.
That's what it says.
God. Who writes
this? Oh, and actually, she's newly single. She broke up with Dylan McDermott, or I think that's what she was saying.
It's either Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney. Those two are confusing.
Well, yeah, they're the same person.
But she works next door, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
English actress, author, and columnist, Dame Joan Henrietta Collins.
Yep.
Joan Collins.
86? That can't be right.
I think it's right.
Just a baby.
And you know what? Hey.
Yeah, hey, fuck it.
Why not?
Yeah, no.
You fuckers.
Singers, older women, you can't beat them.
You
can, but you'll get arrested.
They're fucking fragile.
No, they'll know when to stop you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yes. They know the safe words.
Well, I don't know the safe words.
Yeah, well, they'll teach you.
Okay, good.
Singer-songwriter, author, visual artist, and activist from Duluth, Minnesota. Your homeboy, Bob Dylan.
That's right.
78.
Yeah.
Loves Minnesota. Loves it. That's why he comes back.
He's there all the fucking time.
Yes.
He's there at least every 80 or 90 years.
Yeah.
Once.
He times it with Haley's Comet.
Right. Yeah, it's Comet.
And it's funny because he's 78. He's actually outlived Soy Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's not quite as old as Joan Collins.
No, he's not. He's like,
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's 8 years younger than Joan Collins. Have you heard the Bob Dylan Sings Frank Sinatra album?
No.
That's not real.
Oh, you got to hear it.
That's Paul, have you heard that?
He sings Frank Sinatra songs. Night and Day, You Are the One. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, his Christmas album's even better.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what he's doing now.
I don't want to know what his kind of town is.
He did. He went.
A Merry Little Christmas.
He started out as one of the, as a member of the tribe, and now he switched sides.
I don't know what's going on now with him as far as religiously, but he did a Christmas album.
Okay.
But he's not the first.
Everybody did a Christmas album.
He's not
right?
the first Jewish performer to do a Christmas album. Barbara Streisand did one.
Everybody did one.
But,
they sell.
Pass around the bong, man. It's Tommy Chung. He's 83.
Fucking 83. He's almost 83, sold John Collins.
And he's free. He's free. He's no joke.
He actually just broke up with John Collins, so if you want to hit that.
There you go. I guess Cheech and Chong are still knocking around.
Yeah.
But
Chong, Cheech isn't nearly as old as Chong.
No.
No, like 10 years difference at least.
Cheech's got to grow that mustache back. It's scary without it.
Yeah, that's true.
The hair lips a little much. Watch out. It's Raining Frogs. Actor John C. Reilly. Great actor.
I didn't see the
Stan and Ollie movie. Did you guys see that?
No, but it looks great.
Yeah, I want to check it out. Yeah. He's 54.
54.
Long time left.
Not the killer from Halloween. The other one, you know, Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Mike Myers. 56.
56.
Just a baby. Just a baby.
Get it straight. That's Sir Ian McKellen.
Hey, all right.
He's 80.
80. Still kicking.
Yeah. Magneto's still 80. Yeah.
Magneto.
Wow. Yeah. Puppeteer and all-around badass who hands Jolie Jake's outfit back to him.
What was that?
Okay, let me...
Hold on. I missed
Puppeteer,
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Puppeteer, an all-around badass who hands Jolie Jake's outfit back to him.
Oh, yes.
Also directed Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and other movies.
Indeed.
The powerful Frank Oz.
Yeah.
75.
We know why the cork is on the fork.
I can't believe Frank Oz is still alive.
Yeah.
That fucking kills me.
All he does is sit around with puppets.
He does more than that.
Did you hear all when he directed that movie with De Niro and Edward Norton and Marlon Brando? And Marlon Brando refused to take direction from him.
Not good.
Yeah, so okay. De Niro actually filmed every scene that Marlon Brando's in the movie. He's like, I'm not taking my directions from the Muppet guy.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
He should have made him take directions from a puppet.
Exactly.
Which was the basis of The Beaver.
Should have shown him the Blues Brothers where he's the prophylactic guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Back to the Future screenwriter. Bob Gale, 68.
Fuck
we're just talking about him.
There we go. Back in the right age range.
Fleetwood Mac, front woman, just inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the second time. The great Stevie Nicks.
Yep.
71.
71.
Wow. Straight out of the police academy, the man with the fucked up voice, Bobcat Goldthwait, 57. Virtually unrecognizable. I was in a Ralph's probably 7 years ago. He was in front of me in line, and I'm a big Bob Goldthwait fan.
Yeah.
Had no idea who he was. He's skinny now.
Skinny.
He's got, yeah, he's,
he looks smart as shit, like he's got glasses.
He's directing some real fucked up movies. I like him.
Oh, yeah.
God Bless America.
God bless America.
I was in a Ralph's about 10 years ago at about 2 in the morning in line with Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, did you know that
was kind of free. He was getting a little upset with us.
He was a great big fat person.
He was a great big fat guy. Yeah. He was getting a little upset because we were, you know, fucking around with the cashier for a while because it was 2 in the morning. Nobody was there.
Right.
And then Buffalo Bill was behind us.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it was like when I saw Bobcat, it was about that time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobcat slimmed down and Buffalo Bill got fat.
Got bigger, yeah.
Okay. Something about the high. High. Actor Richard Schiff, 64.
Richard fucking Schiff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, high.
Yeah, that's his great line from Jurassic Park 2.
Lost World.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to.
He's talking about the cage that you raise up.
You go up and you hide. High.
I haven't seen Lost World in so long.
No good for you. Keep
still
it that
smoking hot. Model singer did the locomotion. La, la, la.
Do
la, la,
the
la,
locomotion
la,
with me.
Yeah. Aussie girl Kylie Minogue, 51.
Fuck yeah.
Star of Biodome. Northern Irish actress singer most known for the domestic Magenta and RHPS. Patricia Quinn, 75.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Was that the last one of
no,
that?
No.
Oh.
We got the man from the High Castle, the gorgeous Alexa Davalos, 37.
Fuck yeah. Great show.
Okay,
she was also on The Punisher season 2.
Okay, I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah, gorgeous woman. Gorgeous
woman. Stunning.
Hey, Gabe, remember me from Roseanne? Actor Michael J. Pollard, 80.
Yeah. There you go.
Fucking
hey, Gabe.
Yeah.
It's Gary's movie.
I love Roxanne.
Bonnie Clyde. Yeah.
Roxanne's my favorite.
Yeah.
And watch out for your birthday. It's a doozy. Stephen Tobolowsky, 68.
Love him. Yeah. He's great. Do you love the Stephen Tobolowsky?
I love Stephen Tobolowsky. Died.
Okay, so here's birthdays if they were alive. You know, people who died.
They're fucking dead. Yes. These people are dead and shit.
Deader
the non-creepy camera guy in Nightcrawler. Actor Bill Paxton would have been 64.
Wow.
Fuck, just a baby.
That was, what, last year?
That was a tough one, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it was so many good movies.
He fucking left. He left the girl in charge.
Oh,
he put the girl in charge.
Ooh, cows. Cows. Sorry.
Yeah. No, cows. And his best role to me still is, his best line he's ever done was, how about a nice greasy pork sandwich?
Was there a weird science? Ashtray. Weird science, yeah. Weird science.
Oh, God.
He plays brother. Dude, yeah, the shit. Brother. Yeah. Brother shit. Chet.
Yeah.
Chet shit.
The guy on all the Shepherd Prairie Obey stickers, Andre the Giant, would have been 73.
Fuck yeah.
What a Wookiee, Peter Mayhew, 75. Chewbacca, that's a recent one.
Very recent.
Yeah.
Hey, Hot Shot, pop quiz. Did you get me a birthday gift? Dennis Hopper, 83.
I had to attribute the best movie ever to Dennis Hopper.
Oh, not Blue Velvet?
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
We always go the wrong way on these.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some Blue Velvet lines right, you know.
Paul, you got one?
Yeah.
What's that, man?
Blue
Let's
Velvet
go
line.
For a fucking ride, man. Yeah, one of those things. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Heineken, fuck that shit.
Yeah,
that blue ribbon.
There you go.
I knew he'd have it for us.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
The movie self was portrayed by Sean Penn, San Francisco supervisor political activist Harvey Milk would have been 89.
Fuck
oh,
yeah.
Oh, Harvey Milk, yep.
Jazz trumpet legend who, if he were in Europe, would be Kilometers Davis, Mr. Miles Davis, would have been 93.
A great Stephen Wright joke.
Yes, that is a good one. Once rode through Dallas dressed as Mayor McCheese, 35th President John F. Kennedy, would have been 102.
Baby.
And the inappropriate Family Guy joke.
I got it. From Dracula to Doctor Who to Star Wars, he covered all the bases. Bird actor Peter Cushing, 106.
Fuck yeah.
But his hologram lives on, or his CGI.
Yeah, his CGI does live on.
Yeah.
And not bad either.
All right. By the way, do you think Oswald killed Kennedy, or do you think there were other shots?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I don't want to go down the rabbit
hole. I believe
hole.
Anything could be possible. That's about the best I can say.
I haven't got a fucking clue. I've been there. Obviously people have recreated it. Personally, I think it's weird when a judge says we can't open it. The people are just not ready for it yet. It's like,
yeah, something's fucking.
What the fuck aren't people ready for? Like, we got fucking current president. I think we could take it.
Yeah. No, I went to Dallas a couple of years ago to play a goth festival, and I went to the depository. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, when you go on the grassy knoll, you're like, wow, it's obvious. It's an easy shot.
Yeah.
But I believe Oswald shot at him. Yeah. I think he was one of multiple people that were shooting that day.
I have no idea. So one of the guy's theories is that it was a Secret Service agent that just accidentally, like,
I heard that. I also heard the driver.
Yeah, you know. So there's a couple of things. I like the accident theory, because the accident theory is the one where the judge would say, "Dude's still alive, or he's got kids. Like, we got to give it one more generation before everybody's dead, so that there's absolutely no blowback on a guy who made a horrific personal accident."
Right.
You know.
And then there's some YouTube. If you really look at it, it kind of looks like the driver's going. Shh.
Oh yeah, I mean there's a bunch of shit. I have no idea. I don't.
That's the
fuck
exact same reason why we can't release Eric Stoltz in Back to the Future.
No.
It's not been long enough.
Exactly.
But I'm a huge fan of Eric Stoltz.
Right.
Yeah. True.
Eric Stoltz is good.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about.
After Rules of Attraction, you didn't hear from him that much.
Yeah, that's all right. He's due for a stroke any minute now. So.
That's not.
Well, somebody that I don't know if they had a stroke or not. Mr. Christmas, the guy with the silver voice. Perry Como would have been a 107.
Perry fucking Como.
Fuck yeah.
Perry Como.
Oh, maybe my favorite of all time. One spooky motherfucker, something he didn't discover until later in his career. Vincent Price, 108.
Fuck yeah.
So good.
Old fucker. Oh, even better. Actor, singer, dancer, musician, had a hell of a career, but you probably know him from The Shining. Scatman Crothers, 109.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Bolo Soup made him feel good, but not that good. He's dead. Jimmy Stewart, 111.
That's cruel.
Yeah, he's done shit, yeah.
Writes his shit.
The man we all grew up with. Voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, all those. Mel Blanc would have been
Mel Blanc.
Love him.
Yeah.
Buried in Hollywood forever, I believe.
And when you watch Looney Tunes now, it's like, it's close, but it's not quite there.
No, it's not.
No. John fucking Wayne, 112.
John fucking Wayne, Paul, did you hear that?
John fucking Wayne would have been 112
fucking
today.
Wayne. Yeah.
What do they say about John Wayne and Repo Man?
I forgot.
Old fucker.
Old fucker.
That's right. Old fucker.
Old fucker. Brit acting directing legend Laurence Kerr Olivier, Baron Olivier.
Yeah.
112.
Right on.
Yeah. I'm speaking of Marathon Man.
Yeah.
A comedian actor who performed for the troops, and as we recently found out, comic book character Bob Hope, 116.
Do you know Bob Hope had his own comic book?
I saw that. Jerry Lewis, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They had one, the cast of Saturday Night Live, the John Belushi years. They met the Avengers.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wait, the Avengers or the Avengers?
No, the Avengers, the Marvel Avengers.
Okay. Holy shit.
All right.
Yeah. Legendary director whose credits include It's a Wonderful Life and the Bell Science Lab films, Frank Capra, 112.
Fucking A.
And talkies were not his friend, the silent swashbuckler, the king of Hollywood, Douglas Fairbanks, 136.
Fuck.
He would have been 136 today.
Yeah, old fucker.
Why weren't they friendless to Freddie Douglas Fairbanks?
His career went into the tank when films weren't silent anymore.
Once they could hear his voice, how he
yeah.
spoke.
Is that how he spoke?
Hey,
I'm a pirate.
It was a little bit high.
Swap the decks. Yeah.
But he was a good looking guy.
A good looking guy.
Could have dubbed him.
Son had a decent career. And
son had a good career.
Yeah.
Son had a normal voice.
Fuck yeah. Well, that is it.
Okay.
That is it.
Boom.
Yes. Paul, thanks for phoning it in, buddy.
Get your ass.
It didn't come out how I meant.
It came out exactly how you meant.
Okay, yeah. Fine. I'm a sarcastic son of a bitch. Mark, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for setting this up.
Oh,
I'm shaking Mark's
guys.
Hand. It's good radio.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great meeting you guys. Renegade Radio for Life.
Morgan, thanks for doing an awesome job for us tonight. For Empty Minds Radio and everybody just mentioned, I'm Tom.
I'm Gary.
Till next week.
Peace, bitches.
Ow, my head.